Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another in our series of In Life today. For those of you who, maybe this is your first day today, or maybe you're not kind of caught up with the rhythm that we've been into. We've been doing things a little bit differently this year. We have what we call our In the Word Sundays, which is basically just your normal sermon style preaching for that Sunday, and then the in-between Sundays we do what we call In Life, where we basically take the principles that we've learnt in the sermon and we try and flesh them out in a conversation in a practical way to try and give us more of an idea of maybe how things work on Monday to Saturday, because some of these principles work really well on Sunday and we get it and we think, yeah, this is good stuff. But then we go back to our jobs and our schools and our homes, and it doesn't quite fit so well sometimes. So last week we had Andrew South basically talking to us about dependence and how that prayer is a big part of the outworking of our dependence on the Father. And he was basically preaching around the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus basically told his disciples how to pray and gave them an example. And one of the words that he gave us that was translated from the original Greek basically translated the word prayer to chit-chat or having a chat. So today we're going to have a bit of a chat. And what we want for you to get out of this today is just to be encouraged to go away and just know that you're normal. Because we're going to hear from normal people today, other than me maybe, I'm a little abnormal, but the rest of you are good. Just to quickly introduce to you, this is my wife Lindell on my left here, and then we've got Becky and Murray Beer, who we're going to hear from today as well. So basically it's going to be reasonably simple. I've just got some questions that I want to ask, and I want basically you just to get the feel for maybe how these guys do prayer and translate it into your own context, because we're all different and I think you're going to hear that this morning. So let's just get into it. First question I'm going to ask is just, what does prayer look like on any given normal day for you? Would you like to start?
Sure. Okay, well that's a big question, because my ideal would like to tell you something quite different from my reality. And I think that's probably true for most of us. When I got this question, I thought about the very first prayer I prayed, and I remember it because it was the prayer that I prayed to bring me into a relationship with Jesus, and I was 7, and that prayer was the beginning of my conversation with Jesus, and that prayer opened up my heart to have a conversation with Jesus. And that prayer basically was about me going, you know what, Jesus, you're real, and you did what you said you did. You died on the cross, and you made a way for me to have a relationship with you. And we've just done Easter, so we've been talking about that a lot. So that was my really very first prayer, and I was 7. And what I think is really cool about prayer is that it doesn't matter how old you are or what stage you're at, prayer is that connection that we have with God. So on any given day, I think I've grown from a 7-year-old into a 41-year-old prayer. And I have come to realise that there's no right and wrong about prayer. There is no formula for me about prayer. It's my relationship with Jesus. So I think of prayer as a rhythm in my life. And it is something that is becoming more natural, like it is like having a best friend, a constant companion. And I know that the Bible sets quite a high standard about praying continuously, and I'm not sure how we do that sometimes, but I come to realise that there's never a dull moment in my brain. There's always generally something going on, and that can go anywhere at any time. And what I've come to appreciate about praying continuously is that God, Jesus wants to be a part of my thoughts, and he wants to guide my thoughts. And sometimes our thoughts can get away with us, and he brings me back to a place where I can have a conversation with him and my thoughts. So I've been growing in that conversation with Jesus. It's more about when I wake up in the morning, I can He's my first thought usually, and I'm speaking to him. There's times in my day when I'm not speaking to him, but I can come to him at any point, any time, my thoughts and my and pray. And so it's like it is for me a constant sort of conversation that I come backwards and forwards to, like I do with friends. So what I'm really glad about is there's no right and wrong, that he's always there for me to talk to. It's a conversation I'm growing in, that I'm learning to take the word of God and to pray it into my life, because that's where I know that, and I can take the word of God and combine it with my relationship with him. There's something that happens, something really special that happens, something powerful that happens in my life. Yeah, so that's pretty much a roundabout way of saying prayer is a conversation with Jesus in my life every day. Sure. Yeah.
Becky, how about you? How does it look for you?
I always thought Lindell was a professional prayer because I don't have that story. As if you know us, we came out of the Christadelphian Church about 7 or 8 years ago, and the rules, I suppose, was that men only prayed in that church. So my default was to always leave the praying to Murray. But that meant that I really didn't develop my own relationship with God. And since coming to CBC, God's really been digging me in the ribs about this prayer, because I'd never really had experience or teaching on how to pray. I just felt really totally inadequate and fearful about the whole subject. And when Jeremy said, "Would you and Murray be on a prayer panel today?" I said, "Is there any other subject?" Like, it honestly has been my most resistant part of growth in the last few years. But God has been, I realised when preparing this, that he has been actually growing me in this area, even though I've been resistant about it. And for me, prayer has become less functional, you know, ticking the box and, you know, saying grace and saying good night to God. It's been more about a relationship, and God's really taught me some amazing things through this process. And one of the things that I found has really helped me in understanding, you know, prayer and how to do it is really just to, I put together an identity prayer. So this is just a document really that I put together, which has really helped me to understand, you know, who God is, and what his nature is, and his characteristics, and that those characteristics need to be in me. So I went through the process of just documenting from Scripture what those things were. And by praying those to God, I'm, you know, honouring him, but also realising that those qualities need to be in me. So in praying it and declaring it, it happens eventually over time. That's my hope. So that's been something that I've done, which has really helped me and helped Murray. And really, as my theology has changed here at CBC as well, because we belong to a church that didn't believe Jesus was the creator. So, you know, you can imagine what sort of theology we had. So changing my theology, changing my idea of my identity in Christ, understanding that has really helped me understand what prayer looks like, because when you don't believe some things, you also lack some understanding and you really don't honour God and glorify him like you should. Well, I wasn't, because I didn't understand him, basically. So prayer for me kind of takes two formats. And it's like the running conversation, the constant companion, bit like in a marriage, you know, you can say it how it is and there's no offence and there's no misunderstanding, because God knows our heart. So that type of format is just sort of something that happens while I'm hanging out the washing and doing the dishes and making the beds. And then there's another type of prayer which is more kind of, I guess, formal or structured, and that happens while I'm walking the dog. It's a really good time to pray, by the way, because you can utilise your brain while exercising your body. It's good. You don't actually feel the pain in your legs because your mind's elsewhere. I also find praying late at night's good because you don't get interrupted by children. And also I found that praying in the shower is really helpful because nobody can see the mascara running down your face. You know, you can actually pour your heart out to God and nobody can hear you. I found that really helpful. But some of the things that God has prompted me to pray and learn how to pray and include in my prayers is I always start prayers with praise to God. I think that's really important. And just thanking Him for what He's done in my life. So thanking Him for calling me and pursuing me and saving me and freeing me. Not only have we been saved into Christ's family, but we've also been rescued out of a cult. And so that's huge. And I constantly thank God for that because, yeah, that's been a life changer. So praying for spiritual and physical needs has been really important for Murray and for our five children. I pray for our business success and a blessing on our staff. I pray for family and friends and our old church to be unveiled and freed from the bondage that we're also in. And I like to pray over the God conversations that I'm having on a daily basis, that God will unveil the blind eyes to the people that I'm speaking with, and that God will reveal truth to them. I like to pray for the church family and leaders who lead us, that they are leading us closer to God in that relationship. And God's been really working with me on the whole spiritual aspect of prayer and just how, you know, we really need to understand spiritual warfare and resisting the devil's schemes and engaging angels in spiritual battle on our behalf in our daily life, because we are in a spiritual battle, I've come to understand. And then if I'm really on a roll, I'm out there walking, you'll see me walking along the river with the dog, then I'll pray a blessing and a favour over the people that I pass and over the homes that I pass, and just ask God that He'll touch their life in some way. And then God's been helping me or causing me to take a political interest lately over the last couple of years, and sometimes God puts things on my heart to pray about that are political or social issues. You know, things like human trafficking, media deceptions and lies, church lies. You know, they're huge out there and they're deceiving Christians, and I was one of those. So, yeah, that's been something God's been on my heart to share. And then lastly, just praying for the city, for our country, international political leaders as well, because we're impacted by the decisions they make. So that's just some examples. That doesn't mean I pray those things every time and always, but they are just a few things that, you know, God's been growing me in these areas and He would bring to mind as I'm out praying.
Thanks, Vicky.
I have a question first. What is a normal day? my prayer life is... it's not on a set frequency. It comes and goes. It's a bit like the tide. There'll be times when I feel closer to God, times where I feel more distant, some sort of wilderness times where I'm feeling a bit parched and dry. So prayer for me at the moment is more in response to felt need. It's about all sorts of things, you know, everything and anything, and it's a lot about bringing those details under God's sovereignty. I think, you know, we live in a what we call enlightened age, where we know a lot more about how God made things work, and it becomes easy to not... Well, I found it myself. It became easy to not see God as over the details. It's been some key events in my life that God's sort of shown me that have confronted my worldview, and that have been key as I thought about those and processed those in me putting absolutely everything under his dominion. That's relationship, that's kids, that's business, that's technology, that's just every single detail. So it's not the same each day. Kinds of things that I pray about, cover that.
That's cool. That's great. I think, I guess what's coming out a little bit is that a lot of life when it comes to prayer is directly related to the types of personalities that we are. I think that for some of us who like and crave structure and rhythm, often prayer fleshes out in a more structured and rhythmic way. And for others of us who are a bit more free flow and just go with the flow, prayers happen in a more casual way. And that's not to say that either one of those is better or worse. I think the important thing to remember here is we're talking about conversation. We're talking about chatting like Andrew talked about last week. And that looks very different for each and every one of us. So again, today, what I want you to take away is not a prescription, I guess, but just some examples of how things might look. And just to encourage you to go, look, just look a little deeper into your own prayer life and how that might look, and maybe give that a little bit more attention and develop that conversation, if you like, with God that we call prayer. Next question I've got is, and I'm pretty sure we all have been in this boat, and it's the question around unanswered prayer, because I think that probably everybody in this room could relate to that, that we've all experienced times when we've prayed, sometimes for little things or prayed really hard out for really big things, and seemingly God didn't answer or God didn't come through. And I'm not necessarily looking for examples necessarily, but how do you deal with that? Because it's really difficult sometimes to go through life and feel like God's not talking or God's not answering our prayers. So how do you deal with that, Lindell, when you get times when you feel like God hasn't answered your prayer?
Well, it happens a lot. there has been some decades where I've been crying out to God for a certain thing in my life and it hasn't worked out yet the way that I had thought it would. And there are broken relationships and I'm praying for restoration and seeking God for that. What I have come to realise during this process is that God's ways are much higher than my ways. His thoughts are much better than my thoughts. He says that in his word. He has a plan that's much bigger than what I can ever think or imagine. But he's also dealing with my will, and he's gentle and he's kind, and he doesn't enforce his will on me or anybody for that matter. But what it really does for me, it unsettles me when I'm praying and I'm not seeing God move. It makes me question God in a way that I guess isn't like, God, you don't exist. It's more like, God, what are you doing now? Because I really need to know about now what you're doing. Mm. And what I've seen God do in that process is sort of undo me a little bit and rebuild me emotionally. And I've seen God take his word and start sowing it into my life. And there's a verse that he continually brings to me. And he wants to put hope in us during this waiting time, because waiting isn't wasted time. It's time that he's like really purifying us and bringing our motives to a really much better place. And there's a verse in Psalms that says, I'm still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Just wait on the Lord and take heart. And that's the verse that God continually takes me back to as I pray through these things in my life. God hasn't let me walk away from this prayer, this battle in my heart. I could have. It would have been really easy to, much easier. But I think God is drawing us, drawing me, to continually bring this before him. As much as I would love to walk away from it, I can't. And that's God's work in me, not me, because I would walk away. So I think during that time for me, it's distressing, but at the same time, God shows up and he puts his confidence back in me with his word. And there's some real life words in here. And then I see him move a little bit in ways that I haven't expected. I think I have an agenda for God, but his agenda's much, much better than mine. And there's lots more heart. He's not just dealing with my heart. He's got everybody's hearts around me that he needs to work in first. And he's doing that, and I see little glimpses of that, and I see God moving towards answered prayer. Haven't seen it fully yet, but I guess my encouragement is to trust him, to keep trusting him. I have to keep trusting him. No matter what it looks like on the surface with my human eyes, God's doing something much bigger in the spiritual realms that I can't see yet. And I'm really grateful for that, and I hold on to that. And I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I do believe it. And I'm just waiting on him and trusting on him with that.
Thanks.
Yes, God's not answered many prayers. I don't think I need to give a particular example, but at times when I feel that God hasn't answered a prayer, even though I've been led into, you know, I've really felt the Holy Spirit lead me into a position, and yeah, it hasn't turned out how I expected, and yeah, that's really left me with confusion as to, you know, what's God up to, frustration, just feeling anxious and even desperate, feeling impatient for answers, doubting myself, my own capabilities, but also doubting God's loyalty to me, and does he really know what he's doing? And looking back, I believe God's been working through that, and I've come to know or come to learn that there are some things that I can do in that process, in the waiting, that God is faithful to his promises. We need to remember God's truths, and I needed to just really just run these things through my head, that because he's faithful, I can remind God of his promises to me, and that's okay, and that God is trustworthy, and if I'm seeking God's kingdom first, then I can trust him to provide for the other things, that God loves me unconditionally. He died for me and saved me, and that means he won't let me go, and I'm still secure and safe, even though he's not giving me answers. That God is able and his timing's perfect. I need to remember that, because I can be impatient at times. I like things to happen yesterday. I ask God, if not this or not now, then what? What next? What else have you got for me if this isn't it? And the other thing is, I just try and get back into my joy zone as quickly as possible. So while I'm waiting for the answers, I get into my joy zone by, which helps me to more easily remain hoping and trusting and faithful from a place of safety and security and rest in him. And I do this by, I'll get a Christian book off the shelf and I'll start reading, or I'll listen to a podcast, or I'll get immersed into a Bible study, or I'll remind myself of, you know, God's blessings and my gratitudes. I'll reread some past testimonies, some answered prayers, some prophetic word and affirmations, or I'll start a painting, do something creative. And I find these activities just help me to switch my focus off my worries and wait for God to delight me. And in one of those ways he's delighted me is as I've grown deeper in my relationship with God. You know, God had delighted me one morning with this love letter, which I woke up and started to write down, and it's just been a real treasure for me, and I'll leave it for you to read, and to read to you yourself from God, so that you can get the feeling and sense of, you know, just how much God loves us and cherishes us, and that, you you know, we're redeemed and we're going to meet him face to face one day. And, yeah, that's how he wants us to view him, loved in a secure place. So,
thanks, Vicky.
Inconvenient being the last, because now any idea that I had some form of uniqueness is blown away. Thanks, Lindell. It's kind of encouraging to know that Lindell, who always seems, you know, patiently waiting on the Lord on the outside, is not. Because at times, sorry. It's supposed to be about edification, isn't it? You know, building people up. I really struggle with this. At my core, I'm quite insecure, and if God doesn't answer, like, you know, straight away, I'm pretty patient. You know, usually pray on Sunday. By Tuesday, it's like all over. yeah, so it does take me to similar places. It's like, well, what's going on? Why, you know, what's wrong with me? Why, you know, why can't you hurry up, God? It's that inner in a small child, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I guess that's part of how I try and process it, that Jesus said he wanted us to be like little children, and little children don't have the same context of time as their father, do they? Are we there yet? It's like quite the need for instant. How do I deal with it? Well, I think that's where you have a cot and toys, and things will get tossed from time to time. I respond quite a lot like Jonah, you know. I'll camp outside and just watch for God to bring the destruction on, or I'll do an Elijah and just go for a run and end up somewhere in a cage whining at God saying, well, I'm the only one, you know, what's going on, and hurry up. What's he doing? I found Philippians 4 really useful. Very grateful to Andy Stanley, who God brings very clear messages through. And he, there's a really good series he did called He's Still Got Your Hands. What is it? He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. He's Still Got Your World in His Hands. Something along those lines. But this Philippian, the prayer... It's a bit like Jesus said to the guys, look, pray this way. He wasn't saying, like Napier Boys High School used to do, you know, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, not a rote prayer, but it's like, here's a tool. And the Philippians 4, I think it's verse 6 and 7, just talks about revealing to God and yourself, not like God didn't know, but to yourself, what is it that you're actually worried about? It's that unsettling, that undoing, and the peeling down to see what is it that he needs to grow in me at that time.
Thanks, Murray. So the last question we've got is just, I guess the opposite of that is there's times when God does answer our prayers, and some of those times are quite obvious and they're quick, and other times they take a long, long time and are not so obvious, and sometimes... it's only in hindsight when we look back, we actually sometimes years later go, oh yeah, God did answer that. So just quickly, because we've got 1 minute, 3 seconds left. This is the speed round. Just tell us a little bit about that, no pressure. About what it's like when God does answer prayers and how you process that, I guess.
Me.
Yeah, you go, Gil.
Okay, I'll talk fast now. So I had thought about this a little bit, and there are lots of times God's answered prayers, actually. And the times I wanted to tell you about, there were 3 times at work, and like, this is cool because God is with us always, and he's really intimately involved with our work as well, right? And so I had these 3 different experiences over a few decades, but with the I'm a nurse, work at the hospital, so I had this same experience with the one nurse over 3 different times where we had a patient that had come into my workspace, and he was distressed and he was anxious and he was pulling out things and very unsettled. And I realised he was a Christian. And it was me and this other nurse, and they were trying to restrain him. They were trying to keep him calm, kind of settle him down. And it wasn't working. So I said to him, realising he was a Christian, because he'd mentioned it, would you like me to pray for you? And he's like, well, only if you pray to God. And I'm like, well, good thing I can do that, because I know him. And we're on the same page there. So we did. I did. I prayed for him, and instantly, and surprisingly to me as well, he just generally settled down, and everything just calmed down. And this nurse who was with me, who doesn't have a faith, she just watched. And I was sort of thinking, oh gosh, I wonder what's going through her mind. So that happened, and then we walked away from that situation, thanking God for that. She came up to me afterwards and said, wow, you know, you're the right person in the right place at the right time. And I'm like, yeah, God's good like that. And so that happened with that nurse. And then a few years later, I came on to a morning shift again, and it was with this nurse. She was already at work. It had been a chaotic night. I worked in recovery. I don't do this anymore. But it had been a chaotic night in theatre. There'd been one patient in theatre all night, and he'd had he was having cardiac surgery. The place was a mess. People were running backwards and forwards everywhere. It wasn't going well all night. When I walked into her, she also was in quite a state. She had a patient in recovery as well, so everything was quite chaotic. There was a defib that came out to us, which had blood products and water and everything through it. Now, electricity and water don't go well together, and so we needed to sort that out pretty quickly. And this nurse was really wound up, and I'd walked into this chaos. And so I'm trying to sort out the defib while they're calling for it to go back into theatre, and I'm just like, ah, this is crazy. And then she said to me jokingly, I thought, why don't you just go pray, Lindell? And I'm like, ha, 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 you know, thinking she's being funny, but inside thinking, oh, God, help. And I didn't do that. I didn't go and obviously pray like she thought I should. And then she, a little bit later, as chaos continued, she said to me, Lindell, you need to go and pray. And I'm like, okay, she's serious. I do actually need to do that. And so I... Also, at the same time, so there was a few things going on. There's also a friend of mine there with her son, who had two broken arms, and she was waiting to get her son into theatre, happened to be a Natsuki child, who was waiting to get their son into theatre. And she was sort of sitting on the sideline while all this chaos was happening, and I was sort of feeling her anxiety and her stress, knowing that there's no way this kid's going into theatre with all of this chaos going on, and that's just going to wind up, you know, that's hard too when you're sitting there with your kid. So I decided to go and pray. And so I wandered around the theatres and I prayed, and then I went back. Oh, it was my break, so I went and had a sit down and just continued to pray. And when I came back from that, it was like everything had stopped. And I thought, gosh, this man's died. He was still in there. He must have died because everything's just stopped. And I walked back into recovery and I said, you know, like to my friend, so did he die? And she's like, no, he's really stable. Things are going really well. It's just suddenly just calmed down. And I was genuinely shocked. I was like, wow, God, that's amazing. And it just so happened that because all of our consultants were sort of tied up with that patient, there was another registrar that happened to come in and said, because this the surgery on this other child was a little bit more minor, we can do that now. And so it was really cool because I got to say to Janine, you know, woohoo, you're going to get done today. So that happened. So this nurse was the one that motivated me into praying, and she got to see God work again. And then just recently, like the end of last year, I was on a pain round, and she was with me. She wanted to come and see what we did in the pain wheel, because I'm a pain nurse, pain relief, comfort nurse. And she's
married to the right guy, I can tell you that.
She came with me, and I was with another patient, and we were just there. And it's like really cool because God knows how to put people in the right place. And it was another guy who was Christian, I found out. Well, he actually kind of had a faith, but he wasn't really active in his faith, and I said to him, where do you get your strength from? When, you know, like, when it's all said and done, where actually do you get your strength from in your distress right now? And he goes, oh, I kind of used to be a Christian. And I'm like, okay, so I can work with that. Let's see. Like, I said to him, would you like me to pray for you? And sure enough, he said, like, yeah, please pray for me. And we did. And his just peace. God just puts peace. When you bring things to him, he brings peace. And that's what I think was really cool for me to see, really cool for my colleague to see. And I think God's got his hand on her, because I think he wants to show off a bit and say, this is how good I am to those people around. So sorry, I've taken way too long.
That's right. We had a minute 20. You've got a minute 10. Becky, well, yeah. Just, I guess, as quick as you can, just let us know from you.
Okay. I battled with which prayer shall I share with you, but just a short one because we haven't got a lot of time, is that during a time when I was trying to understand and change my theology, coming to CBC, And one of the things that I was struggling with was the Trinity. So I understood it in my head, but I hadn't got it to my heart. And if you know my story, I've been writing letters backwards and forwards to my family, sharing my testimony, and that kind of went on for a year, just you know, backwards and forwards, mainly around theology. And one of the things that my sister kept bringing up is, yes, but you believe in the Trinity. And I... you know, and I did intellectually, but I hadn't actually transferred that truth to my heart. And one day I was just praying in the shower and I just said, look, God, just tell me the truth about this. Are you a three-in-one God? And through one of the sisters here, she actually texted me and said, don't fear, just believe. And in that moment in my spirit, I just really knew that was the answer to that prayer in the shower a week ago. So, you know... that just really gave me a real confidence in God that, you know, we can actually ask him direct questions and he will answer. And, you know, that was just a struggle I was going through at the time, that I needed to believe it in my heart so I could teach that. So that, you know, just gave me a real confidence, and also just answered prayer always leaves me with a greater value for the privilege of prayer and knowing that God hears and God cares, you know. He cares about the things that we struggle with to understand. So, you know, I see now that prayer is a tool for deeper relationship with God, not just a function or a box to tick like I used to think of it as. that prayer is a necessary way to ask God for things and thank him for things, but I believe God wants me to see beyond just my daily needs and what he wants in my life. So shifting my focus from, you know, what I need financially or whatever to what does God want in my life. And I'll just leave you with one quote, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And this week, God brought this quote to my attention. We all know that we receive faith through receive salvation through faith, but the works that we do, which has always been a bit of a controversy, is that the word, in my old church as to what those works were, they believed that believing the correct doctrine was what would save them. So the works here, God's talking about outliving God's prepared purpose for us, our destiny while we are here on this earth. So I needed to understand how God had gifted me, my personality, my skills, abilities, talents, and spiritual giftings, where God wanted to place me in family, in friends, in business, in ministry. Also to generate a desire to know how God wants to use me to build his kingdom. So I'm now convinced, you know, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to knowing God's heart and knowing his kingdom purpose through me.
How do I deal with answered prayer? I get excited and I tell people. And I think that's what he's supposed to do, what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
I'd like one day when I'm organised to keep a journal so that I can remember these things. It'd be convenient if there was an app and like, well, you got a text from God, you know, you could scroll back through all the discussions. So that kind of thing I think would help me a lot. I'm seeing Liam here. One quick anecdote from what goes on in the mornings before church. Dave's been leading us in the team that I'm part of in praying and just really intentionally putting ourselves in God's hands. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in pain, and my back, I had not been sitting up straight. And like that Wednesday, it was particularly bad, and Dave prayed as part of kicking off practice, and Lord, just pray for, you know, for absence of pain for Murray, and, you know, that his back would be good. And Dave specifically referenced Sunday, and Sunday wasn't that great that morning. But Liam spent quite a bit of time sitting down on the edge of the stage while we were praying quietly. And then practicing about song two, I thought, oh, this is odd. My back feels a whole lot better. Song three, gee, wonder who's been praying for my back. So I leaned over to Liam. I said, dude, who's been praying for my back? And he goes, me. I just wanted to bring that up, not to sort of, you know, elevate Liam as a super prayer, but like, you know, sorry, bro. And God will work through all of us. And the fact that Liam responded to the need of another member of the team and God responded and did the thing that only God can do. So go back to the person that prayed for you. And like if you've shared something with someone else that you trust and you needed prayer for and they've prayed and God's brought that answer and you're aware of it, go and share it with them and celebrate it together because God wants to move miraculously in all of us.
Cool. Thanks, Murray. So we'll just wrap this up. If you guys want to put the four questions up, that would be great. We've been going through the same four questions this year, basically in life groups and ministry groups. And the thing that I really want you to focus on this week is what have I discovered in God's Word today, or how's the Word of God spoken to me today? I want to reiterate, I guess, just the scripture that Murray referenced before, and it's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And this is what it says, and I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. A lot of us would have read this 100 times, I guess, like me. I want you to really listen to the words in this and get God's heart out of this, because I really think it's really important for us to hear this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then, and this is the real kicker, this is the promise, it's not talking about answers, but it's talking about what you actually need. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I'll just leave that with you today. Just if you get time during the week, open up your Bible, flick it to Philippians and read that verse as many times as you need to get it in, just to know how much God cares about you and how much he wants you to share everything that you are and anything that's on your mind with him. And he promises that he will give you peace that passes all understanding. And that's exactly what you'll need. Let me just pray for you as we close. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the vulnerability in the hearts that Lindell and Becky and Murray have shared today. Thank you for their experience. Thank you for what they're doing, what you're doing in their hearts and lives. Father, we just ask that you would continue to guide us and lead us in this journey of prayer, that the conversations that we have with you would become more real, that you would make your presence known within our hearts and lives, and that, yeah, you would just really continue to do this journey with us. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.